There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thinking Sideways is not brought to you by precariously balanced dishware. Instead, it's supported by the generous donations of our listeners on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/thinkingsideways to learn more. And thanks.
Thinking Sideways.
I don't understand.
Does not compute.
You never know.
It's the picture face of the
book
in English.
What?
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways, the podcast. I'm Devin. I'm joined, as always, by
Joe
and
Steve.
I'll let them introduce themselves.
Yay!
Those guys over there.
Yeah, us.
We're going to talk about a mystery that you probably haven't heard of tonight. It's called the Lake City Quiet Pills. And strap in, because it's going to be a long one.
We're going to talk really, really,
really
slow.
Really slowly, yeah.
So I'm going to talk normal?
Yeah.
Okay.
You are. And with the upwards inflection, if you would, please.
Slowly?
Yes.
There
perfect.
You go.
My interest in this case actually came from a message I got on Reddit from a user by the name of Captain Cannibal.
That's nice. A great name.
And to be up front, because I know some people take issue with this when we do episodes like this. This mystery, pretty much everything that you, actually, literally everything that you find on it is on Reddit or it's, on the actual sources that we're going to talk about.
It's an internet-based mystery.
It's an internet-based mystery, but beyond that, it's a very obscure internet-based mystery. So there, you can't go out. There's not a Wikipedia page about this, for instance, right? There's not articles about this. There's not a huge amount of information about this mystery. So the sources are fairly condensed, but we have gone to the actual source. We've done interviews. We did our research on this one, as these guys can tell you, because I've been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Well, there's people on Reddit who've been talking about it for years and years.
For years and years. And yeah. So I just want to say that up front. Yes, we're going to talk about Reddit a lot, and that's our primary source for this, but there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And as far as I can tell, this story starts with a Reddit user. Weird, because it's a Reddit thing. Well, okay, it starts with a few Reddit users. Okay, maybe it just starts with this user whose name was Zasaskwan. But this user is no longer a user on Reddit. Their account has been deleted. And it started innocently enough. In 2009, a user, it was their first post, they made an account to make this post, and their username was 26. And they posted that user Religion of Peace had passed away. And it was reported that this user's real name was Milo and that he was 79 years old. He was described as ornery and mean. And I wasn't on Reddit at this point in the game, but as far as I can tell, it definitely didn't have nearly as many subreddits as it did. The community was much more tight-knit.
Do you remember when did Reddit officially start? I'm trying to remember. It was 2008,
maybe?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, so it was only like a year or so old, so it makes sense that it wouldn't be the sprawling beast that it is today.
Yeah, so actually the big thing that happened in today's history of Reddit, Dig. Do you guys remember Dig?
Yeah.
That website? There was this website that was kind of the precursor to Reddit called Dig.
Because you could dig it.
Mm-hmm. You could dig it. And there was this huge exodus that happened. And I'll be honest, I don't remember why, nor did I look it up, because I don't care. But this huge exodus happened of Dig. And that happened, I would say, mid to late 2009. So it was just after this whole thing kind of got started. And that's when a huge influx of users started to come to Reddit, and it kind of started to develop into the community that it is today.
Got it. So that's where the large base of users came from for Reddit.
A lot of them.
Okay.
Not all of them, certainly. But
I didn't know that. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So the news of Milo's death did seem to hit a lot of people hard. I guess he was a pretty well-known user. He had reportedly, he was the kind of guy, he enlisted at the military at 14 to fight the Nazis. He had, lied about his age. There's a lot of lore around this guy. He tells a lot of stories. He had set up a fair number of people with, quote-unquote, gigs after they left their military service.
Like mercenary-type jobs?
Yeah, I don't know. He was kind of this mean but enigmatic character, I guess. Oh, he was also the mod of the subreddit Jailbait, r Jailbait, and then r Real Jailbait. You may remember there was a huge Anderson Cooper controversy.
I was going to say, yeah, that's not the nicest subreddit ever.
No.
That anybody should ever see.
Well, it wasn't. I think actually, if I recall correctly, that famous quote about child pornography, the "I don't know what it is, but I know it when I see it" quote, do you remember this?
Vaguely.
There was a Supreme Court justice who, they said, well, what is child pornography? And he said, I don't know what it is, but I know it when I see it.
I think I can't remember who it was, but I think it was what is obscenity? And I don't know what obscenity is, but I know it when I see it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
This whole Jailbait and Real Jailbait, they weren't naked pictures.
Oh, that's
they
good.
Were just pictures of attractive underage girls.
That's even worse.
Well,
let's move forward, please.
So Milo apparently owned this website called That Old Guy's Image Host, which had been set up for him by 26, that user that we were talking about 2 seconds ago.
And the one who set up the account to say that he had passed away.
To let everyone know that he had passed away, yeah. And That Old Guy's Image Host was a image hosting site, primarily for pornography, but it was kind of like Imgur a little bit. It was just, there were a lot out there at that time. But they set this one up so they wouldn't be restricted by anyone else's rules. Or I guess Milo set it up so he wouldn't be restricted by anyone else's rules.
Except for the feds when they catch up with you.
Well, it was child and adult pornography, and the only rules were no bestiality and no bodily fluids. And the domain name for this website was lakecityquietpills.com.
Well, that's where Mystery gets its name, I guess.
Yeah. For reasons unknown, user Zazaskuan started poking around the HTML. I've heard this is a thing that coders do, and just on habit, basically, is they check the source code.
I've actually done it to websites to see how they did something.
Mm-hmm. But I think on this one, some people just kind of, they just poke around.
That's just their hobby.
Yeah. So he just viewed the source code of lakecityquietpills.com and found something odd. Which appeared to be messages, like a job posting board. And he posted, I'm sorry, I should pause here to say, I'm just assigning the he pronoun to this user. No idea at all. Just assigning that pronoun, because I guess that's what you do. Anyways, this user posted a transcript of the messages that were found in the root source on the subreddit WTF. And you can still see that post today. And it does. It reads like a job board.
Sure does.
And a while later, another Redditor, Steroa, was poking around to follow up or see interesting things themselves.
Yeah, that's again in the source code for the website.
In the source code of the website, yeah. And realized that the code actually had been changed to a cipher or number encryption. At this point, user Xenophobe51 was also caught up in the case. And they were kind of the two big posters about this. And this was, you know, so this was 5-6 years ago. And they were the two kind of push investigators on this. And then about a year ago, two new investigators kind of came in on this, and they were Jason Lee and MDAX8414. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself here.
All right. Slow down.
Sorry. Slow down.
Yeah.
5 years ago, when all the users started to notice these things, they started to post actually really pleas for help, saying, hey, we found this thing. We know it sounds crazy, but can you guys help us try and translate it? Can you help us investigate it? You know, just, it's interesting. Figure out what's going on. And a lot of other Reddit users started saying that they thought that it was actually an ARG. You guys remember ARGs?
Cicada 3301.
Yeah, it's an alternate reality game. Oftentimes, it's a marketing gimmick that was kind of tried to get people to create hype around a thing without actually explicitly saying what that thing was. It's an actual game that people play as well. It's not just a marketing gimmick.
Well, that's how they get people to get excited about it and generate all the buzz.
Sometimes marketing gimmicks, sometimes it's just an actual game that people play. Another user at this point does a Google on Lake City Quiet Pills, which apparently nobody had done at the time. I don't know why. That's fine. And found some interesting things. This person found that a user on Fark.com, you guys remember Fark.com?
No, actually.
Really?
No.
What was Fark.com?
Oh, it was an internet link cultivating website. It just like posted links to like funny things.
Clickbait.
Yeah, pretty much. There was a user on Fark.com with an address that was at lakecityquietpills.com named Angel26, and that user had been posting on Fark.com since 2001 with the slogan of, quote, dispensing Lake City Quiet Pills to lousy bastards in need of permanent rest since 1968, unquote. It's this bit of information, file it away. It'll be significant when we start talking about theories.
So that's Angel26. So yeah. Since 1968. So he must have been born about 1950 then, right?
Yeah, maybe.
So what is we've got the website, and now we're finding a statement with the same thing of Lake City Quiet Pills. So what is the significance of that?
The speculation is, and I fully agree with this, that a Lake City Quiet Pill is referring to the Lake City Ammunition Plant, which is a U.S. government-owned ammunition facility in Independence, Missouri. And they produce a range of ammunition for the use of the U.S. government, Army, Navy, things like that.
It's just massive, that place.
It's huge.
They produce military ammo, and it's not only for the government, but also some of it goes to civilian sales. Stuff like 5.56 and 7.62.
Which, I'm sorry, I don't know enough about guns.
5.56 is a rifle round. It's using the M4 carbine that the military uses.
Okay, I know the M4. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then some of the M14 and some of those rifles are chambered in 7.62, which is also known as 308. That's a civilian designation.
Okay.
Got it.
And then,
yep,
you know, 9mm, you know, things like 9mm, 50 cal, mm-hmm. 20mm, which mm-hmm. is the stuff they're using in the nose guns of fighter jets.
Okay.
Yeah.
So big guns.
And again, this goes to the government, but also they sell to the civilian market too.
Yeah. And we know from some talking that we've done with some people that it's maybe not the most widely used slang term, but it is a military slang term as a lot of special ops snipers use
quiet
the term.
Pills?
Quiet pills.
Okay, not the Lake City part is only because of the munitions factory.
Yeah, so they use the term quiet pills.
Got it.
As kind of a tongue-in-cheek reference to killing somebody.
You got to have a sense of humor when you're in that
right.
line of work.
I think you probably do. Yeah. At some point, and I'm not sure when, it's not very clear to me when this happened, but the amateur investigators 5 years ago.
On Reddit,
yeah. Discovered that old guy's image hosting was actually just an image hosting site for a larger forum site that was called drunkstepfather.com.
Nice, skeezy little name.
Classy. Yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of like most of our listeners can put this in the frame of reference of it's Reddit's Imgur. As far as you can tell, you know, Imgur was built as an image serving or an image hosting site specifically for Reddit. And it seems that was the case for this Drunk Stepfather website as well. So it turns out not every user on Drunk Stepfather was also a user on Lake City Quiet Pills, but every user on Lake City Quiet Pills was a user on Drunk Stepfather. Yes, okay. Steve? Steve?
Yeah. No, I'm visualizing this. Okay, so it's...
It's like square rectangle.
Got it.
Right?
Okay. Yep, nope. That okay. makes sense. So Great. Lake City... So Lake City Quiet Pills would be the rectangle in this, and Drunk Stepfather would
Opposite.
Be... Or no, the square and Drunk Stepfather would be the rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right.
Yeah. Milo was, as some have put it, kind of like the grandfather of the organization that we're referring to as the Lake City Quiet Pills.
I was thinking of him more as kind of the skeezy den mother.
Yeah, okay. You know, whatever works for you.
It's a weird porn site. I consider him the skeezy den mother.
That's fair. Well, yeah,
I mean, if you're posting a child porn site, then yeah.
Yeah.
So he, along with other key members, were very active members of the Drunk Stepfather Forum. Milo was the old guy that old guy's image host was referring to. He owned the site. As far as we can tell, via the chats on the forum, he owned it, at least for a while, and he was the runner of it, I guess, as far as we can tell. And we'll get a little more into this, because there was a who is that was run, and we'll talk about that.
I was
going to
ask about the who is, okay.
Yeah, and I haven't mentioned this yet. Lake City Quiet Pills no longer exists. It's gone defunct. It's a defunct website. It's gone defunct in the last year.
It's actually probably a good thing because we're, 15, 20 minutes in, and you know that at least a dozen of our members, or listeners at work would have accidentally tried to go to that website.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And got fired. So we've saved you.
Yeah, we waited.
I thought it actually got taken down a lot more recently than that even.
It didn't get taken down. We'll talk about this in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the key players in this case before we get too much further into this.
Okay. Tell us about Angel 26.
Let's talk about Angel 26.
That's the guy that was on Fark.com?
He was the guy that was on Fark.com.
Okay.
And there's a bit of mystery around this person because Angel 26 is almost definitely one person, but 26 is probably just like a title. So you'll get a number of different users posting under the moniker of 26. Make sense?
Yeah, the title was sort of passed around every couple of years, right?
Or months or days, yeah.
So if I had a profile and my profile name was Super Steve, it would be Super Steve 26 if I got that title?
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
But not always. Sometimes you would just be 26 and they'd be like, oh, well, Super Steve is running it right now. Super Steve is the 26 right now.
Wow, that just made that more confusing. Okay.
I know. So there are three Drunk Stepfather users that we can pretty much undoubtedly say were 26 at some point. They were Gerald Mank, JP4, and Pierce. Speculation is, like I said, however, that Angel 26 was their own person. We did an interview with one of the newer people who have been investigating this case on Reddit. This gentleman asked that we keep his identity a secret, so we're going to do that. But here's what he had to say about 26.
Angel 26 was a 26. I mean, there's multiple 26s. They seem to be the ones that are curators for it's hard to tell whether or not it's for the actual image searching or if it's for being the curator for all the jobs that are listed. I'm kind of leaning towards Shade holding that job, but there were quite a few 26s, so it may have been shared. The responsibility may have been shared. Because Shade did have terminal cancer by the end of his life, so could have been passed on. That was only this past year, so who knows. But there were at least a few people that had the 26 role. The first one being, I think it was Jero Mank, which is actually an anagram of Major Kern, but who knows if that's what that actually means. I mean, going for the military aspect of this, it could be. But after him, it was this guy, Angel 26, like the Angel 26, the one that announced that, you know, Religion of Peace / Milo, that he passed on. And after that, it went to user JP4 and then went on to, was it Pierce, who was, I think, part of the organization, just from what I, just from what he was talking about on the forums, you know, talking about, you know, staging out of South Africa. But he may have just been an old military guy if they met on one of the jobs and said, hey, check out this porn site. So it could be that. And then he handed off to Bishop. You know, the interesting thing about this 2-6 role is no one seems to hold it for more than a few months. It's always constantly being passed on, which is, there could be significance in that, maybe not. But it does seem interesting that one person can't seem to hold it.
So the things we know about 2-6 are that 2-6 was definitely involved in the messages that were written in the root source. 2-6 knew Milo personally, at least one of the 2-6s knew Milo personally. I am under the impression that all of the 2-6s knew Milo personally. And 2-6 served in an army, but it's unclear what army, or if it's just generally a term for the military, or even more like an IRA army. But Angel 2-6's chosen avatar was a line drawing of a bird of prey that was really, really similar to the insignia of the Siloist Scouts of the Rhodesian Army, which is now Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
That Rhodesia is now Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I've got it. Sorry. So another person that's definitely involved with the root source messages is Shade. You'll see him or her, probably him, referenced to a lot, and it seems like they were the holder of the purse strings, kind of, as it were. And you'll see what I mean when we kind of talk about the messages.
Kind of the accountant of the group.
Mm-hmm, kind of, yeah. And then the last person is You Religion of Peace, a.k.a. Milo, a.k.a. Dutch Milo. And we've kind of covered him a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about him more in a minute. There's a lot of things about his history that I don't think are true. I don't think he was 14 and joined the military to kill the Nazis. I think that's just made up lore.
But the thing about it is that if he was born around 1930, he would have joined about 1944. And by the time he got through basic training and all the other stuff, it was kind of too late to go fight the Nazis.
Yeah, it would have been hard. But I do, however, think that he was actually military at one point, and you guys know why, but dear listeners, do you know why? Well, meet You Xenophobe 51.
You can just kind of tell when you listen to somebody speak or read what they have to say. You can kind of pick up on certain things, especially if they're talking about prior military service or experience. You can tell if they're telling the truth or not. And oddly, I think this guy was, you know, as weird of a character as this dude is. I mean, his jargon was just too accurate, and not only accurate, but period specific to like Vietnam era. And he spoke in military jargon that was outdated to when I was in, and I was in the 1990s.
Like he said, it's probably military. So we're going to call Xenophobe 51 Xeno from now on, because I don't want to say Xenophobe 51 every single time we talk about him.
For sure.
I totally trust Xeno's analysis of this. I reached out to a couple of our experts and had them read a lot of the postings and some of the stuff that Milo was talking about. And they also agree. They thought that Milo was definitely military at some point, and they were able to also date him to kind of the same time period that Xeno indicated to us as well.
Yeah.
So it's corroborated throughout. One more thing before we get into the messages. You guys know what an iron key is, right?
Of course. I do that.
You know that you've done the research on it. So an iron key is pretty much the most secure flash drive out there. It comes standard with full encryption. They cost usually more than $600, usually.
Yeah, and I think that the selling point of those is you have to have a password to get into it. And if you, is it like you get 3 tries? And if you don't succeed on 3 tries, it bricks it. Yeah, right.
Never to be accessed again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder how much the Hello Kitty one costs.
Probably even more. Probably like thousands of dollars.
That's what I'm guessing.
We should get some.
Dude, who would ever think that it was a secured USB drive if it looks like Hello Kitty?
For real,
perfect
though.
Camouflage.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Hey, listeners, if you want to donate money to get Hello Kitty iron keys, we will send you something.
Joe wants the My Little Pony one.
Yeah, probably.
I do want an iron key.
You are a brony, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that I know what an iron key is, then I definitely have to have one.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, yeah. And actually, it's worth noting, some of our listeners may not be aware that you can have an entire operating system on a flash drive these days. You can have an entire computer on a flash drive, and you just plug it into a computer and you have a totally different computer there. And that's hugely helpful if you're doing anything even remotely clandestine, because you just unplug it and there's no way to track it. It never existed.
Clever.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the messages now. And we're not going to go through all the messages because that would be pure insanity.
Yeah, there's too many of those.
Yeah, way, way too much. But we're going to go through them chronologically, which is the opposite way that you see them posted. And before we get into this, I want to thank Dan, Lori, Greg, and Nick for helping out with these.
Thanks, you guys.
They're some of our experts. They were so helpful. They tolerated me emailing them at all times of the day being like, wait, and what about this? So it was super helpful for me to have.
What happens when you sign up to be an expert?
It is, yeah.
We annoy the crap out of you.
We really do. And there's a really unique style that these are posted in. So we're going to read them sic erat scriptum, which is, you know, as they are written.
Exactly.
Latin. An example is this. Joe, can you read this one for us?
All right. Filled XXXXXX spec. Need to ink speaker private sec at CHWXP must. Recent S or SBS preferred.
So I'm going to translate that for y'all.
Yeah.
Because it's a little confusing. A translation of this would be filled specifications. Need two English speakers for a private security posting at sea. Hardware experience required. Special boat service or U.S. Navy SEALs background preferred. Here's another one so that we can get a little more into the sense of it. Joe, could you read this one too?
Yeah, I'll leave the date off here. Spec 4/team-3mo set gig. Fed CCWA+. No US, W/W, spec 4 for 24/7 DP, 1 week gig, fluent English, working French a plus, 2 week, 1/4 pay, sequester on refusal. Bonus.
Okay, so this one, even more confusing somehow. So this one reads, specifications need a 4-person team for a 3-month security job with a federal concealed carry weapons permit. Anyone with a USA want or warrant need not apply. These 4 people will work 24/7 on diplomatic protection. If you refuse after learning all the details, you will be sequestered or sit out for 2 weeks while the job is being done by others, and you will lose 1/4 of your standard salary during that time.
Wait, so the thing that it calls out here, what is it, the federal concealed carry weapons permit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Weapons permits are issued by states, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what is, I've never heard of a federal.
I have not either.
I haven't either.
I haven't either. I think to the best of my knowledge, no such thing exists.
Yeah. At least in the U.S.
Yeah. I think that, if you're law enforcement or ex-law enforcement, say like, you know, anything from Secret Service to FBI to just a city cop, I believe, even though there isn't an actual card that you carry around, I believe you more or less have a federal carry permit.
Well, that's what your ID badge saying that you're active in that organization.
Active or ex-police would be the
equivalent of, but I've never heard of, I'm going to go out and just get this thing.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
As far as I know, there is no such thing. I mean, okay. you have your FBI agents running around with guns, you know, but they don't, you know, their FBI ID is enough for that. They don't need to get an extra permit.
Right.
Well, maybe next time I meet one, I'll ask for it.
Yeah, do that.
I see Mulder.
Yeah.
So of note, these posts did change. It's hard, you know, because we're looking at this historically and we can only look at what was archived. So one of the big questions I had when I first started researching this case was, did these posts change or was it just like this standing archive? And Zeno told us that he and the other users that were investigating this did actually see the posts changed.
So how long did that go on for? I mean, between the time they started looking at it and they watched them change and then finally they replaced with the encryption.
Mm-hmm.
How long a period were they watching?
Not long. I don't have an explicit date for you, but it wasn't.
Months?
I would say maybe a month.
Okay, so we're actually talking a matter of weeks. Somebody caught on.
As far as I can tell, yeah. Okay. But like I said, I don't have an explicit date for you, unfortunately. So we've had these translated, and as to their authenticity, Zeno has some things to say about that.
Somebody had discovered in the source code of the root directory of LakeCityQuietPills.com a hidden, what appeared to be a hidden forum or a job posting board.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought that was very strange, so I went to the root of that directory, the root of that website myself and looked at the source, and sure enough, there it all was. And I read through it all. And this, you know, at that time, you know, none of the people's theories had really developed yet. You know, I mean, this was right when it happened. So, you know, nobody knew well, I shouldn't say nobody, but very few people were kind of privy to the fact that a lot of what they were seeing in there looked like little nuggets of military jargon or some kind of military thing going on there. When I read through it, I kind of got the feeling that what I was looking at was a sort of under the table kind of mercenary sort of thing that I was looking at. You know, like I'm guessing that most of these people were just working jobs where they were doing armed security for people in strange places, and they may have been doing some kind of— it sounds so stupid to say this stuff, but it sounds like they were doing some kind of Blackwater type contracting.
Okay, so I'm going to have Joe or Steve, whichever one feels like reading these, read these so you don't have to keep listening to my pleasant voice all the time.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right. Good either way. You
want all right, I'll go for it. Shade is maintaining the calendar and access to the file dump. Angel has the job postings for EU and Asia. We aren't sending anyone to ME. No one, don't ask for listings.
So we can probably figure out what this means, right? The translation is fairly simple that...
Well, it's Europe and Asia.
Yeah. There's job postings for Europe and Asia. They're not sending anyone to the Middle East. Don't
Middle
ask.
East. Okay, thank you. I couldn't wrap my head around ME for some reason.
Yeah. So Angel has the listings. Shade is maintaining the access calendar and the file dumps. Shade is kind of doing the accounting HR bit. Angel's doing the actual postings. Next post.
17 July 2009, I'm sorry to tell you that old Milo died yesterday. He went quiet and calm, not like we all figured. I gave the fat mangy cat of his to the little girl next door. No services or nothing, you know Milo. I'm taking his ashes back to where his farm was, close to it anyway. There's a mall where his place was. So hoist a few for the old man. Remember what he said, keep the faith with the man who's got your back.
This post actually coincides exactly, of course, with the post on Reddit that 2-6 made saying that
corresponds in the time.
Mm-hmm. It's the exact same day. Similar information, down to the mall information, actually, on the Reddit thread. 2-6 gives geographic coordinates for the final resting place of Milo in reaction to kind of a troll comment. There's a little thread there where somebody basically says, like, oh, Milo was a jerk. And 2-6 says, you know, screw you. Not screw you, but screw you, he was my friend. And they get into a little argument. And 2-6 says, this is his final resting place, and posts actual longitude and latitude coordinates.
Why did he do that?
That's because a really, trolled. Really good question, though. No, and actually, that's one of the biggest questions in my mind is, why would you do that? And then Joe knows this really well. Steve, you a little bit know that Joe and I, for the past couple of weeks, actually, have been doing really, really extensive research into this parcel of land.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of crazy levels of extensive research. We pulled...
What I would expect.
Well, yeah. I mean, we pulled deeds. We looked at census information. We tracked down every single trace with the help of one of our other experts, Vanessa. And I'm willing to say I'm 90%, if not more, sure that Milo never had any connection to this parcel of land.
I think we wasted our time with all that.
I think we did. Actually, I guess I wouldn't say it was a waste of time, because we were able to really definitively say this post of these coordinates don't actually have anything to do with this case, which is almost weirder.
Like he just went on a Google Earth and randomly picked a spot and took the coordinates?
Yeah. But he happened to get a location that is really close to a place where a boys' orphanage existed in the 1930s and 40s in that area.
Really?
You know, it's this weird, pretty well-researched spot that leads to a million dead ends that we followed up all of.
Mm-hmm.
Really, genuinely, we did so much research. We felt like crazy people a little bit.
Yeah.
But
by the way, the spot is like just south of Gettysburg.
Yeah, it's just south of Gettysburg next to an outlet mall.
Yeah.
But those were the coordinates that were posted, and we did do a lot of research, and I am really, really, really confident that that had nothing to do with Milo.
Well, if you're trying to keep Milo's identity a secret, you know, why would you be posting the coordinates to a place that he used to live?
Yeah, why would you be posting coordinates at all? Because the question prior to 2-6 giving this information wasn't like, oh yeah, well tell me where you buried him. It was just like, this guy was kind of a skeez, and 2-6 was like, well, here's his final resting place. Like, there was no reason for it. It was silly.
It was just a way to end the conversation.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know. A little red herring to send us all off wasting our time trying to track down property records.
Yeah.
back for
kind of
decades.
A little bit. Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
That's that one out the window. Next post.
September 2009. For those who have asked, I bricked Milo's Iron Key the same day. All is well. Filled. XXXXX spec. Need 4-inch speaker. DP. No US. W/W.
So people have pointed out that they think this is strange because an organization that uses Iron Keys shouldn't also need a posting board like this to be maintained, right? And our experts differed on opinions, and we'll get to this in a little bit.
Okay, I was gonna. Yeah, okay, I'll hold the.
yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. So next posting.
Well, this is also by 2-6, correct?
All of these, as far as I can tell, are by 2-6.
Yeah,
but there's no explicit definition of who's posting anything on these. And these are all in that root source code again.
I gotta say, his spelling leaves a lot to be desired.
It's real bad.
That's terrible. I have a ball right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It's gonna be like reading text messages from family members. 14/9/2009. Milo's will cleared probate. Surprise, Milo was loaded. Email Shade, if we sent you out in 2005-2009, Shade will have checks cut for you. Amount is by how many times, not by pay total. Small share is 3/4K.
Okay, so Milo's will cleared probate in 4 months, which suggests a couple things.
Surprise.
Surprise with a Z.
And an I in the beginning.
Yeah.
I like the way it spells probate.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Because I spelled it the same way. That's probably why you didn't notice it. Yeah.
Probate. That would be a great name for a bait shop.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Oh, it's almost good. Like it's pro bass.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway.
I'm going to set up a bait shop.
So this, it being cleared in 4 months tells us a couple things. And this comes from our expert, Nick, who's a lawyer, but not. He's not an estate lawyer and not in Pennsylvania. So these could be wrong. And if you know more about this than we do, please let us know.
Pennsylvania, by the way, is where the coordinates were at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So one assumes that it's
I sadly, as Joe said, Gettysburg, I was rattling my brain going, oh, hell, I don't remember my U.S. history. What state was that in?
Well, you don't.
And I'm a little embarrassed by that.
Yeah.
It's in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Okay. So the executor of the will knew where the will was in the area, and acted immediately upon Milo's death. The will covered the entire estate, and there was no one contesting the will or the estate.
It sounds to me like Milo probably didn't have any relatives anyway.
Right. And it was a simple estate with no real estate or and only personal property, so no bonds, no holdings in other companies, things like that.
That makes sense.
The estate was easy to liquidate, so if it was a house that was ready to sell. It was stuff that could be auctioned off really quickly, things like that. Milo, very likely, as Joe mentioned, had no family to contest the will. Because it cleared in 4 months, it would mean that the executor, there was nobody who was going to say, like, no, that executor isn't going to do that thing,
and
right?
And, dear God, if you want to see the worst come out, people,
that's
throw
the
a
time.
Will in front of them.
For real, yeah.
Especially when there's a whole bunch of money involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and then the other thing is that in Pennsylvania, assuming that the will was in Pennsylvania, I don't have any reason to believe that other than the coordinates were there, but...
Okay, so we're making an assumption on the state that this happened.
I'm just making that assumption, yeah.
Okay.
In Pennsylvania, a creditor can wait up to a year to make a claim against the estate, so there had to be a really reasonable confidence that that wouldn't happen in order for the executor to have liquidated all of Milo's holdings so quickly. This post also suggests that maybe they're taking care of some back payments to contractors, but it's not clear to me if they're using the money as bonuses based on sendouts or if they owed contractors back payments on salaries. But it does indicate that contractors are being held on salary or retainer.
Wait,
to me.
Okay. I'm not quite sure that I understand the back pay thing, because 4 years is a hell of a long time for back pay.
Right, but...
I get peeved when when somebody's 2 months behind
sure.
on a bill for me.
So it's maybe that they were paying them, you know, 3/4 of what they were owed, or half of what they were owed, or something like that, instead of, we're not paying you anything because we can't afford to pay you anything, right?
I kind of get the impression...
I understand the theory. I can't understand it working
sure.
for that long.
Well,
that way.
And in fairness, it's not as though you can go out to, like, monster.com if you're a contractor or a mercenary... right? It's not like you're going to be like, bah, screw these guys. They're giving me only like 4 jobs a year. Can't make that work anymore on the salary they're paying me. I'm going to go to monster.com and find a new job.
Actually, that's not true.
What?
Because, okay, let's take the mercenary part out. So let's ignore, I know when you do the reading, there's all this, there are assassins talk, but let's take that out.
Okay.
Okay, there's talk in here about security. Mm-hmm. All right. Major corporations have operations all over the world that they need security people for. And I don't mean just a guy standing with a badge at the gate. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, in dangerous territories.
Guys with guns. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. And those people are always in demand.
Yeah.
So that's an industry that's easy to job hop. I mean, I've known guys who they would go, I think this guy went to South Africa for 2 or 3 months at a time and then would come home for a month. And then his employer pissed him off.
Mm-hmm.
So he switched to another, I think it was an oil company or something. He switched to another company.
So we think, so that's good.
That's totally possible.
And that's good information to know. I think it's more likely that they were paying out bonuses.
That's kind of what I was thinking, was it was a bonus thing.
Okay. Yeah. The back pay part bothered me. That's why
that's good information to have. I don't know anybody in the contracting sector.
I don't know how. Oh yeah, no, I do remember how that was weird.
Okay, now that we've got that settled.
The salaries, contractors,
yeah,
thing.
It was bonuses. Yeah,
bonuses.
Next post.
12 Jan 2010. Happy New Year, everyone.
It actually says Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, yeah. Everyone. We're having a birthday party for the old man on the 19th. Party starts at 1500 at the usual. Send your RSVP to Shade. FYI, we're booking a room for 3 days for anyone coming from out of area and overnight for locals. Come hoist one for Dutch Milo.
So here's where some really interesting conspiracy stuff starts to come into play. It's suggested that Milo's birthday was January 19th, 1930. I followed a trail to agree that he was probably born in January 1930.
Where's the 19th come from?
Well, that's
because
exactly
I saw that trail.
I don't know where the 19th comes from. But something else kind of interesting happened on January 19th, 2010, and it included at least 33 people, probably a few more. And they were all using fake passports, and more on that later. So next post. Oh, okay. Joe's turn.
Yeah. Okay, 18 January 2010. We got 38 rooms in the Marriott on 46. Shade has the key cards for locals. Paren, pick up at the party. Unparen, dot. Give your travel name to the desk, and that's it. No ID needed, since we're covering the bill. Keep the room service under 500, okay? The phones there are not secure. Bus from the hotel leaves at 1330. Car service vouchers for return trip when you're ready to crash. Don't DUI.
Vouchers with a W.
Yes.
Yeah.
Leafs, I'm going to start spelling Leafs. It. That's the British spelling of vouchers.
I don't think so.
It's kind of like colors.
Oh, with a W.
Yeah. Well, with the color says the U in it.
Yeah, with a W.
Yeah.
Travel name, all obviously, in case anybody was wondering, is pseudonym.
Yeah, alias. Yeah.
In case somebody didn't put that together. This post captivates people because there's just enough information for you to speculate wildly, but not enough information to confirm anything. The Marriott in question is most certainly not in Pennsylvania. There's a Marriott in downtown New York City on 46th Street. One of the most expensive rooms is $424 a night.
Wait, why did Pennsylvania come into that? When you were saying where it was, like I'm assuming there was speculation that this Marriott was in Pennsylvania, which we talked about for where Milo was supposedly buried.
Right, but... and it's because it's the continuation of that. The assumption is that since Milo was from Pennsylvania, that the party would have been in Pennsylvania.
For his birthday.
And actually, there's a Highway 46 that runs through Pennsylvania, so people assumed that it was the Marriott off 46th Street, Highway 46, but I've looked up the rates there, and it's not... Let's get into the next post, and then we'll continue to discuss this.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing about it is, too, is that if you're going to have a blowout party for a bunch of, like, a bunch of anonymous mercenary-type guys, you know, you want to have it in New York City where nobody pays attention to anything you do.
And we'll talk about why New York City in a minute. Let's read the next one, and then we'll talk more about this.
Okay, 2 Feb 2010, party bills. Here is the final for the party. Hotel rooms. 48,341. Limo, 6,080. Bus, 569. Bar bill, 18,890. I like that.
Yeah.
Must have been a great party.
Yeah.
Food, 8,030. Dancers, 8,300. Miscellaneous tips, 850. Miscellaneous expenses, 2,840. Medical supplies, 180. Fat Tommy and Stu are okay, too. So I don't know what happened there. Maybe Pat, Tommy, and Stu got into it a little bit. Total, $94,080. You all did Dutch Milo proud. Thanks.
See, you guys, math. Let's math real quick.
Let's math?
Yeah, let's math. 48,341 divided by 38, which is the number of rooms they got, divided by 3, which is the number of nights they said they were going to get, is $424 and a little bit of change, which is what the most expensive room at the Marriott on 46th in New York City costs. Mm. Okay, granted, they don't have 38 of those rooms. And they were only going to get one night for locals.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. I was going to say, wait, but not everybody stayed that...
But that is, and that's the current rate, right? 5 years later, that's the rate for that.
Oh, the Marriott loves to up their prices.
Oh, yeah. And it is genuinely one of the most expensive rooms. So it's hard to find the math behind that. I'm sure there are some combination of the rooms if somebody wanted to sit and really go through that and find out what the number was, what the rooms cost at that time. I'm confident to say that if this party happened, it happened on 46th Street at that Marriott, or that's where they were staying at least. I like New York City, you know, because of some of the reasons that Joe was kind of talking about earlier. It's a big city. It's centrally located. It's really easy to blend in. It's really easy to get to for international or national people. And, you know, it's a party city.
Yeah.
A huge party like that wouldn't really be a huge deal. People wouldn't bat an eye at it, for instance.
So, yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had a party for Dutch Milo.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll also add that I think this means that there are like at least 76 members of this group. And
this map does.
Yeah. Well, I guess one presumes that they're probably getting double occupancy rooms. That's my math. I mean, that's my assumption, that you would get a double occupancy room. And if you're getting 38 rooms, that's about 76 people.
Possible.
Right?
Yeah.
And additionally, they paid $94,080 like it was nothing for a party, and then gave at least $3,000 to 76 members, probably more than 76 members.
What organization just puts out what the party costs?
Right, right.
I mean, I work for a corporation,
right,
and they put on an event, and I never go to human resources and say, so, how much were the sandwiches?
Yeah, no.
That just doesn't happen.
No,
yeah,
no.
I'm not sure what that is either. I mean, I could see where he would, if he's telling the guy who's cutting the checks, well, here's what it was, I'll send you the receipts later, here's mm-hmm. what it costs, but does he need to tell everybody that?
I don't think so, but I don't know. It does look like a message for everybody, though,
yeah.
doesn't it?
Yeah, the last line, yeah. You all did Dutch Milo proud. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Is not, that would be addressed to multiple people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he just wanted to like let people know, hey, people, be grateful. We spent a ton of money on you guys.
So much money.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's what it was.
So the math equals out to that Milo had at least $500,000, probably more like at least $1 million to his name in assets when he died.
Jeez.
That's factoring that's in nothing. The bonuses that people were told.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, is that like if all 76 minimum members were getting paid out minimum the $3,000 plus the cost of the party, that equals out to be like $400,000, something like that, almost $500,000.
Yeah, and you know, you don't know what Milo's final wishes were too. He might have had a couple million more. He just wanted that to go to 2-6 and Shade or something like that.
Yeah, and then also of note, Tommy and Fat Stu got injured. $180 is a lot to spend on medical supplies.
Yeah, that's the problem with
that. That's a lot to spend on medical supplies, because I'm imagining you like go to the local Walgreens and like get some medical supplies. Like, unless you're buying like an AFib machine, if you're just getting some Band-Aids and gauze, $180 is so much money to spend on medical supplies.
And yet, if you go to the ER, it's not very much. It's at all.
I was gonna say, for the ER, right, it's not that much. But yeah, I've been to, you know, the Walgreens or whoever, whatever your big pharmacy store mm-hmm. is. And it's not uncommon to walk through and see the average price. And this is here in Portland, so I understand prices vary all over the country. Mm-hmm. But in Portland, average price of things to run from $10 to $40 or $50 an item.
Yeah.
Depending on what you're getting. Sure. So it could be that there was a couple of expensive things. I mean, I have no idea. Maybe somebody had a bee allergy and those things aren't cheap. I don't know. It wasn't a bee allergy thing. Don't write us in and say, Steve, you can't get that over the counter. I know you can't. The point is, mm-hmm. there are things that are really stupidly expensive over the counter, and it might not have been a whole bunch of stuff.
I guess for me, we're talking like first aid stuff. You're not going to go and say like, we spent $180 on Advil, right? It's like stuff we needed to make sure that bleeding stopped for a minute.
Yeah, it might be that just it's one of those things. It's like if there were hotel supplies.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know, if you hit the
everybody raided the first aid box uh-huh. in their room.
Well, it could have been that, or it could have just been that, you know, it's just like raiding the mini bar in your room. I mean, mm-hmm. you pay stupidly yeah. huge amounts of money yeah. for, you know, not that much.
Well, so the thing I was going to bring up is that, to me, this post reads that Fat Tommy and Stu went to the hospital or went someplace else. That medical supply does not apply to them.
Because of the next post, I will agree with that.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, let's read the next post.
Okay. 19 February 2010, news. Med insurance went up. Sorry. Me and Shade cut our take by 5% to help cover the tab. You pay 2% more. Filled XXXXX spec. Immediate need? 4 Korean, fluent Korean / dialect / accent, details after contact, 6-week half-pay sequester on refusal, 6-mo gig bonus.
So do you feel like we need to translate that posting?
Maybe a little bit. So yeah.
So it'd be filled, because it was filled, right? Specification, immediate need for people who are fluent in Korean. They need to be fluent in Korean with a specific dialect or accent, and those details will be given after contract. If you refuse that contract after being given the details, you're going to be sequestered on half pay for 6 weeks. The gig is 6 months, and you'll get a bonus.
Have we talked about this whole sequester thing yet?
Mm. It sounds like, if it's a secret thing, they like squirrel you away somewhere where so you can't talk or call or anybody.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, is it that, or is it a salary thing? You know, like you get X amount every month. Let's just say I get $2,000 a month for being something mm-hmm. and I'm going to lose half of my salary for 6 weeks if I...
That's a good question. For me, I go one of two ways. Either these people are paid salary all the time, right? And if they say, oh yeah, I'll do that job, and they find out the details and they say, oh, actually I won't do that job, their salary gets cut and they get put on this sequester of they're not eligible for any more jobs, and likely they have to be watched to make sure that they're not going to talk about the jobs that they learned about for X number of months. Or you say, you know, you don't have a salary. The salary comes in with the job. You say, yeah, I'll take that job. You learn the details. You say, actually, I won't take that job. And they say, okay, you're not eligible for a job for the next whatever, but you'll get paid half of the salary that we were offering you in the interim to make it worth your while.
The salary we were offering you for the job, or just your normal salary?
Well, there wouldn't, in that instance, there wouldn't be a normal salary.
See, okay, now that, I will agree with your first version, mm-hmm. but the second version doesn't work.
No, I agree. Yeah. But I go back and forth a little bit because, like you were saying, there's so much need that it'd be possible for you to just kind of take whatever job you wanted.
Yeah, I just don't think these ads were for like salary jobs where the guy's getting paid an annual salary. I think it's just a contractor kind of gig where, you know, you get 6 months or 6 weeks or whatever, you get paid this amount of money for doing this job. Mm-hmm. And as far as refusal goes, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, exactly. I guess that means if for whatever reason you refuse to do the job, then they squirrel you away somewhere. Yeah. They sequester you.
Yeah.
And they still pay you some money, mm-hmm. you know,
right, that,
to reward you.
And but, that's the second option, right? So yeah. You guys are torn between both options.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me to have a guy read the details of a job, squirrel him away, pay for him wherever you've squirreled him away, and then pay him for being in that place.
Well, you yeah. want to pay him for that. I mean, if it's a sensitive mission, right, and he could totally screw it up in the first 6 weeks, you're not going to say, okay, thanks for your time, bye, after he knows the details. You're going to say, okay, I hear you. You don't want to do this weird Blackwater potentially killing children operation. Okay, you're going to go sit in that hotel room for 6 weeks. No contact with anybody from the outside world, but we will pay you.
Just to sweeten it a little bit.
A little bit of money to make it worth your while.
And I think this is the kind of thing, you're setting up kind of a bad incentive system for people to just show up and say, yeah, tell me about it. Oh, not interested.
I was thinking,
no, I hear
thank you.
I
was like, dude, I'm never going to go on a mission.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm assuming that if you refuse more than a couple of times, they probably like blacklist you.
I would presume
you,
that as well.
You know? Oh, yeah. The easy option is, all right, I'm going to take 3 jobs a year. I'm going to turn down 3 jobs a year or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still going to be making okay money, but I can mm-hmm. slide by. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree.
The system is just screwed.
I lean more towards the you get paid a salary, like, no matter what.
Especially the health insurance thing.
Mm-hmm. That you get paid an annual salary, and mm-hmm. then if you refuse a job, it's sequestered. You know, you only make half of what you would usually make for that amount of time.
Yeah, I don't really think so myself, because I mean they it sounds like they've got so many different guys that they've got these guys on a salary for, you know, when they're not sending them out that often, really.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to me
well,
like it should be by
well,
the job.
But so, like,
don't be careful of going down making that assumption that the posts that we see are the only jobs that they had.
Well, additionally, yeah. I think there's something to be said for saying, okay, you're going to make $50,000 a year or, you know, $100,000 a year. If a single job pays your organization $400,000, $500,000, $1 million, the people who are collecting that money are still making a buttload of money on you and mm-hmm. paying you whatever. So I think I have no idea what jobs like this pay on either end. You know,
no,
what people are willing
to
pay for these services or what people are paid for these services. And I think there is totally the opportunity there for saying, we're going to pay you a totally decent annual salary, you know, depending on how many jobs you do. You know, you're required to do this many jobs a year or something like that, right? You're required to do 5 jobs a year or work X number of months or something like that. And we make so much money on this thing that it's okay that we're paying you the salary, even if you're not working. You know, I think there's probably a fair margin of error there.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my side, but hey.
And I think that's totally
so
fair.
So let's talk about the health insurance bit.
Next little bit on this. Yeah. We're talking about this post still. Sure. It seems like Fat Tommy and Stu had to make a claim against their insurance, which would likely have caused insurance to go up. And it means that something bigger went down than just the $180. And maybe the $180 in medical supplies was for everyone else. Something kind of big, like maybe a big fight or something happened.
Yeah.
And 2 guys had to be hospitalized, and the rest of them were like, all right, butterfly bandages and gauze. That's going to get us through.
I think the medical insurance going up was not related to the events at the party.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, insurance companies don't find stuff out that fast, and they don't move that fast.
Yeah, this is but 10 days, 20 days later.
Like 2 weeks later.
And I was going to say is that you would have to have an extremely small pool of members. That's what health insurance companies call them. Your member pool would have to be super small for 2 people making claims to change your rate.
Even just 100, I mean.
Yeah, but still, the other thing here is the 19th, that was 17 days after, that was a month after. It's highly likely that the insurance company at that point had not even received any claims for the incident on the 19th.
That's
or
possible.
Whatever that happened. So, yeah, I think it was just unrelated.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So there's more job postings until March 12th of 2010. So there's the answer to the question of how long was it before the the posts started to become encrypted, because on March 12, 2010, the posts started becoming encrypted because the people who were running that old guy's image hosting discovered that the general population of Reddit had realized that there was some stuff being posted in the source code, and they were reading it and analyzing it.
Yeah, so they decided to, like,
so we're looking at 8 or 9 months.
8 or 9 months, yeah. Maybe. But again, ballpark-ish. I don't have good dates for the actual first date that it was discovered.
I'm only making that up based off of one of our posts that we have in the notes that we have here, mm-hmm. versus this date, and that's about mm-hmm. 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, sure.
Close enough.
It's close enough. Less than a year. We start with encrypted hashes.
I love these.
And the pads at the top of the text is like really, really bizarre. We get things like, I don't know, Joe, do you want to read these?
Yeah. Samuel, Roger, Basker, Flogger, Pinochet.
Yeah, or...
And then upscale, triangle, topical, tangent, Mars.
Like, what is going
those
on?
Tongue twisters.
They are. They're tongue twisters. They're really good alliteration, but they don't correspond with any phonetic alphabet out there, obviously, because you've got 3 T's in a row and they're using different words for them, you know.
They're daily pads. They've got to be.
They're daily pads, at least, yeah.
Why do you put your pad out there for everybody to see, though?
Well, that's a good question, right? And as far as I know, none of these have ever been decrypted, because after that, it actually changed to a long string of numbers. And then after that, it changed to a totally different kind of encryption. In fact, here's what Zeno had to say about this.
And I think what they did was they switched over to PGP, which is a lot more accessible, really, than trying to sit there and decrypt something, you know, by hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can just use your PGP key, you know, to do it in a text document.
There's a thread on Drunk Stepfather discussing the fate of that old guy's image hosting / the LakeCityQuietPills.com. And many of the users on Drunk Stepfather, like we said, were associated with the Lake City Quiet Pills group. Not all of them were. I'm pretty sure that the user, Madame Meow, was not. Madame Meow, however, did eventually gain control of LakeCityQuietPills.com. And then, according to our anonymous Reddit user...
I would say, around May 2015, actually.
May? Oh, so very recently.
Yeah, the server crashed, and then they lost every bit of pictures on it. I don't think they brought it up since.
As far as I can tell, the posts on the root source stopped pretty quickly after they'd been discovered, even the encrypted ones. It's likely that the group decided or realized that they needed to be a little more sophisticated in whatever they were doing. And there are theories out there that the images themselves contained additional information, but I'm not sure about that. I think it's an interesting theory, but I also think, I don't know, maybe it seemed like it was safe to hide in plain sight. Or, I mean, okay, so, like, who's going to dig into the source code of, like, an image site, like a porn image site?
Yeah.
Realistically.
I mean, yeah, that is hiding in plain sight. But putting the, you know, what is the process when you put the information in an image? I can't remember what that's called.
I know. I can't remember either.
Okay, but the point is... That seems like if they're using such a simple system of what we've seen to put this information out there,
mm-hmm.
it suddenly seems like a massively more sophisticated way to go about it by putting it into the images. Yeah. So
actually there...
It doesn't jive.
There are two really... two interesting theories about this. And the first one was suggested to me by our expert, Lori, who is a... She's been a computer science professor for, like, 20 years or something like that.
Okay.
And she thought that maybe it was like a holding tank, like they were just dumping this information into the root source code as kind of an archive almost. However, since she suggested that, we've learned that users did see these things updated. It was, things would change to filled, there would be new postings.
Oh.
It's not really a good
theory. It's almost like a log file,
mm-hmm.
is what she was getting at. It was logging it and just dumping it in, and it would just keep putting new stuff at the top.
Or that it was an archive. That it was dumped off of an iron key to archive it someplace else, for instance. Yeah. But like I said, since we did see it updated, or since... I didn't, but since it was seen updated.
But then, there's some theories, right, that it was just accidentally.
Yeah, so let's actually cut to Zeno. He has a really, really, really interesting theory about this.
I think what was happening was that this stuff was being put into the root of the website's comments, the HTML comments, by accident. I don't think that was actually where they were posting the stuff. I think that it was some kind of error. You know, I used to do a limited amount of web programming when I first got out of the military. It was one of my, you know, in a previous career of mine. I did a little bit of PHP, and I think what was going on was that when they developed that website badly at first, because it was clearly, you know, kind of shade tree construction going on there, that they had done something where it was supposed to comment, you know, supposed to write out those comments just as a testing feature, and they forgot to remove it. One of the other users in that forum mentioned, oh, I fixed it, then, you know, it shouldn't appear there anymore, you know, like that, you know, as if, you know, the encryption wasn't working and now it is, kind of thing. But it's just weird enough that I think it makes people develop even stranger theories, like, well, then he's also hosting this image hosting site, you know, this Religion of Peace guy, and I think that it's not just so that he can post his pornography and his jailbait pictures, but also so that he can post steganography. And put hidden messages inside JPEG and GIF images and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's what was going on. I kind of doubt it. Yeah. These guys don't seem like they were that tech savvy, to be honest. I mean, if they were posting their job board in the comments of their main page, then
yeah,
I don't think steganography is in their vocabulary.
Okay, so anyways, in spite of 5 years of work, I mean, a lot of users have looked into this, and it has been at least 5-6 years worth of work. There's been almost no movement on the case since it was first discovered.
I suspect it might be at a dead end.
So, theories?
Please.
Aliens?
Theories. First, let's talk about this bank thing. It's just a little weird. I didn't really know where to put it other than theories, but it's an interesting tidbit.
The bank thing.
So a Who Is was run on LakeCityQuietFills.com back in 2009, and it yielded some really interesting results. Let's just let Zeno tell it real quick.
It gets a lot weirder, you know, when we looked at, I think we looked at a Who Is of the LakeCityQuietPills.com domain, and it kind of led us back to a bank that had Israeli connections, and then, but it was just like a small, obscure bank branch. And then, you know, the whole assassination date being
what are your thoughts on the party
and all that. It's so, so plausible when you read through the timeline of the assassination and kind of, you know, the number of people that were involved. Like, that assassination was executed by 33 people. 35, if you count the two Palestinians that were arrested. All of them had fake passports,
mm-hmm.
and were from all over the world, some from Austria, some mm-hmm. from Australia, some from, you know, all over Europe, and some from the United States. Yeah, I remember it leading to a bank in the Midwest that had ties to Israel. And beyond that, I can't remember. I just remember it was a small bank. It wasn't like a big national size bank. Hmm. It was a small local bank with ties to Israel.
I know he, you know, there's the Who Is,
mm-hmm.
and
which
what,
just
a Who is kind of the internet equivalent of the phone book. This phone number belongs to this person.
It's the *69, right? Of like,
yeah, it's
who
very,
just called
yeah.
me.
Yeah, it's the very yeah. simple version of whose website is this.
Okay.
Okay, but there are services out there that you can purchase that mask you. So, you know, my IP address of my server is blah, 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 blah. But this masking service covers that and says that it's actually something different, which is under this kind of umbrella organization.
So, but will that reroute a Who Is?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the point of these services.
Okay.
So let's say that I start a website and I think that it's funny to put up all these skeezy photos of these girls that I take mm-hmm. on the street.
Yeah. And the website is called thinkingsidewayspodcast.com.
No,
of course. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I decide, well, it's probably not good if people know that where, you know, that I own it, because
right.
I have a job that's a respectable professional thing, but my perverse thing to do is take upshots.
Sure.
Okay, well, I don't want them to know that. So I'm going to go ahead and take this service, which web hosts offer at an obscenely cheap rate, like pennies on the dollar cheap, and it will bounce that so that you are under something else. So nobody knows that I, Steve, own that image site.
Interesting. It
goes under this other thing. So that's the one thing that I thought about after the conversation with Zeno is I wonder...
It seems likely, right? I mean, it's not... I mean, there was no attempt to hide the fact that Milo owned that site. It was attributed to him explicitly. Nobody ever said, like, I don't know who owns it.
But I could do that with my website.
Yeah, no, totally. Absolutely.
I could say, Steve the Skis totally owns this website, but nobody knows who Steve the Skis is.
No, absolutely. And I totally agree with that. It's just, yeah.
Anywho.
So, yeah, I mean, but that's really good information.
It's just something to keep in mind.
It's interesting on either end, right? Either a bank with ties to Israel owned this.
Which makes, right? Yeah, WTF.
Yeah, or there was a mask that happened.
And who decided to mask it by putting it at a bank in Israel? Yeah. That's a great joke, but kind of a sick joke.
Also another weird. It's just weird. Weird altogether. Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess as theories go, typical of Devin, couple just big headers. So,
and tons of bullets.
So let's say maybe
they're quiet pills. Are we going to start calling them quiet pills from now on?
Quiet pills. Yeah. Let's say it's real. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
I think it's real. I think it's real. I just think it was a private sector, maybe some Blackwater stuff. And as Zeno said, it's probably not explicit like assassin work.
But... No, I doubt that. But as far as the assassins go, you know, that's a pretty huge stable of assassins to have.
It is, yeah.
Really kind of a lot.
But
I would like to have that many assassins available to me.
That'd be kind of cool if you could afford it.
I guess, while we're talking about assassins, though, remember how a couple, I guess it was more than a couple, a while ago I was talking about how something else really interesting happened on January 19th, 2010?
All the people with the fake passports?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you may or may not know that on January 19th, 2010, the same day as the quote-unquote party was happening, 35 people using fake passports murdered the co-founder of the military wing of Hamas. His name was Mahmoud al-Mabou. It's a whole unsolved mystery in and of itself. It's a huge rabbit hole unsolved mystery, the assassination of this gentleman.
Yeah, this is one I want to cover one of these days.
Yeah,
it's a cool one.
This is a great mystery for Joe. But there is a theory out there that the Lake City Quiet Pills were part of the organization that killed him.
So maybe the party wasn't actually in New York at all.
Yeah, and it does seem unlikely, but the post does really suspiciously correspond with the fact that, I don't know, you know.
It would also explain the money.
It would explain, totally
the money makes way more sense. And the locals, you know, I mean, okay, let's go back to that post. We've got rooms for out-of-towners, which is people who aren't in that area, who are traveling international for this job, and the locals get a one day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that suddenly makes the money work out so much better.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And it also makes sense why you would post the money.
Because this was a huge operation. Mm-hmm. Could have been their first time doing something on that scale.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey guys, we're on the up and up. I know there was talk from Billy over in the corner that we were doing something funny. Before we give him a quiet pill, we just wanted to prove that we were straight up with the money.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, though, is that, you know, the people who are most motivated to murder the leader of Hamas would be the Israelis.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Which is really interesting because...
the bank.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because of the bank, but also it's interesting because a lot of people are using Palestinian passports.
These people were?
Some of them. I mean, they were all fake. All of the passports were fake. They were stolen from people. Again, I don't want to go too deep into this, but they were stolen from people who were mostly dual citizens, European and...
Israeli.
Israeli, yeah. And it was like 33 people. It was like this huge operation. I'm sure we'll cover this at some point because it is this like huge mystery. But again, Zeno had some interesting things to say about this.
You know, the dates are the same. They're talking about having 30-something hotel rooms. They're talking about the party starting at a certain time, and this started at a certain time on their timeline. At like It all started really for the team in Dubai at around 2 p.m. You know, that kind of roughly maps to the plan that they were given the day before. Mm-hmm. And some people said, well, you know, who would give them all their orders like literally the day before or on the day of? That doesn't make any sense. Well, it just could have been loose reminders. Like, hey, these are just your quick final instructions. That they knew the deal before they went. You know, this was just like, okay, guys, final notes before we go. Again, I do think that this was a real thing. I don't think necessarily that they were involved with the assassination in Dubai, but it's definitely plausible given the overlapping information. I do think, though, that they were involved in hiring mercenary types or armed security types for different things throughout the world. Whether they were for the good guys or the bad guys or the indifferent guys, who knows?
So the next theory is that it's a hoax.
It probably is.
I don't think it is.
No, I don't think
it is. You know what? The thing that I asked you to squirrel away earlier is that there's proof, like definitive, you can see it, find it, still to this day proof that somebody with a domain, with an email at lakecityquietpills.com was posting on FARC as early as 2001. That's a 14
That's a long hoax.
Year long hoax we're talking at this point. That's a really long hoax.
That's a long con.
It's a long con.
It's a long, long con. But the
really,
thing about
really long.
The thing about it is, too, is if you're doing a long con, you're going to like set up a website dedicated to this.
Yeah.
It's not just, you're not just going to leave it on Reddit, right?
And you're also not going to let the website go defunct.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did with LakeCityQuietPills.com.
Well, I mean, that actually could be a part of the strategy. It's like you let the website go away.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, we went away and we went somewhere else because of security considerations. But then you're still going to set up a couple of websites elsewhere where you're going to discuss this huge unsolved mystery and try to get it publicized. You're going to try to create a Wikipedia page for it, which this thing doesn't have.
Yeah.
So if it was a long con.
It's not very good.
Yeah, not really.
Well, but
they haven't done it right.
My other thing is that like the age of that at LakeCityQuietPills.com address. I manage a lot of websites for people. You know, it's just part of what I do. And I have folks that use email through their website, and they've had that website for getting close to a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
All of their email goes through it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what we've done to update their website in the last 8 years?
What?
Not a damn thing.
Mm.
I mean, really, the website could go away for all I care. It'd be just a blank page. They're just using it as a way to get their email because they like having their own email account.
Yeah, but this goes the opposite way.
But I'm saying the age of it is that it may have started as just
email.
Let's just start this thing. And we did this and it wasn't, you know, the website sucked because, you know what, Angel26, you're terrible at building a website. But hey, at least we got an email account.
Mm.
And now we all have our email accounts. I don't want to get rid of my email account because that's such a pain in the butt to tell everybody where I'm at. I can't forward it because you'll kill it. So I do this all the time, and I know it drives people nuts, but I just look at it from the kind of the Occam's razor, the simplest, lazy perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I did this thing. It's there. It's kind of cheap. We'll just keep using it. And then at some point, somebody hacked it or somebody took it over and turned it into this other thing.
Turned it into a hoax.
Well, yeah, turn it into this, you know, got in there and built something else on top of it.
I guess. I mean, I think it's just weird that they're... I mean, you know, like on any forum you see, right, you've got those users who have their like a little animated picture and they're like sign off.
I hate those.
Yeah. But the fact that the sign off was dispensing Lake City Quiet Pills to unlucky blah, 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 since whatever.
1968.
Yeah. The fact that it was so connected to the stuff that was happening in the root source, it seems like too big. Like if we're going to go Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is that it's all real. It's not that somebody later took this and did a hoax on top of it to like create this fun thing.
I'm gonna let it go.
Okay.
We could argue that.
Oh yeah.
Back and forth.
We can.
And it's gonna get us nowhere.
That's fair. Yeah.
So I'm just gonna let it go.
Okay.
I don't think that's the case. But moving forward, what is any? I don't know if there are any more in this the whole hoax arena.
Nope. Joe.
No, it's just the only thing I was gonna say is that. I mean, how many people have actually gone into the HTML and seen this stuff for themselves?
On Lake City Quiet Pills?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think there's any
potentially
way to know.
Dozens.
More than dozens, I would say. Lots.
I'm
and
being
lots
conservative.
Of
it's I'm yeah.
So it did exist then, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
That would, I guess, kind of argue against it being a hoax, although it's still a strange communication system they had going there.
It is. Again, it's, you know, totally possible as, you know, posited that it was just
an accident. Yeah.
Yeah, an
possible.
Accident. Yeah. So the one last theory that we have is that it's an ARG.
No freaking way.
So, you know,
chill, dude.
I didn't know we were still connected to that guy.
Let's talk about this for a second. Okay. So my argument against it being an ARG is that, like, LakeCityQuietPills.com isn't exactly the kind of website that you would want to use for your marketing stunt / company / all-inclusive game, right? It's basically a porn site.
It was a porn site.
Yeah.
You don't really want to be running your alternate game reality in the source code of that, but okay, maybe. Fine. On the other hand, maybe it's an ARG, and all of the Reddit users have been quote-unquote investigating it the most are, in fact, part of the whole damn thing, and they've been perpetuating the myth the entire time. Because guess what? We can't actually rule that out.
But exactly what kind of thing is it promoting?
It's not that it'd be a promotion. It's that it would be an actual game that people are participating in, like a role-playing game that people are actually participating in, pretending to be these different agents that are quote-unquote going out in the real world. They're not actually,
pretending.
They're pretending to be these people.
Mm-hmm.
And that Reddit is just continuing to perpetuate that.
Mm.
Right? Okay. In fairness, let's just hear what Zeno has to say in full.
Freaking way. Other people think that it's a hoax, you know, that somebody just put this together as to troll some people. If so, then the amount of dedication that would take is just
incredible,
unprecedented. You know, it's ridiculous.
I think it's real. What do you guys think?
It's hard to believe, but that it really is the best alternative. But I think, like Zeno, that it was just an error that caused some of the stuff to be written into the HTML code.
Yeah.
Either as like comments or logs or something like that. But the comments are kind of disjointed, like especially the stuff concerning the party.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of feel like not everything made it out there, and I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
You'd think that we would have a more complete record of these communications. So I don't really get that why, but
I'm torn. There, I'm going to use air quotes around the word evidence because it's just data on the internet. But the evidence that we have does lend itself to show that this probably was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm not 100% convinced. I mean, it just, again, to me, is just something that could be a simple hoax of some goofball doing something and thinking he was being funny and then realizing that people were reading what he was putting up and deciding to troll him a little more and troll him for a while.
Trolls are going to troll, man.
And then say, let me pull the ultimate troll and just start putting up gibberish and then do nothing.
Yeah.
Like that's completely plausible.
That is.
I'm very torn.
Well, here's the deal. The reason I don't think that's the case. It's possible, but this isn't really actually a very sexy case.
Mm.
You know, if people are going to try to start to like get something going, do a long con. You think it's going to involve kidnapping, murder, stuff like that? I mean, this stuff is just guys going out and being security guards, basically, bodyguards and stuff like that.
I guess the other reason that I think it's real is because they vaguely reference going out into the field in the forums in Drunk Stepfather. You know, there are these discussions that are, they don't say anything explicit, obviously, but users on Drunk Stepfather who are all members of, or not, all of the people who are posting these things on Drunk Stepfather are also people who we can associate pretty closely with Lake City Quiet Pills. They're talking about field experience. They're talking about army experience. It's corroborated in different formats, in different forums where they're talking about these things. So for me, that speaks to more than just one dude saying like, let's do this funny hoax.
But I still, I can see one dude finding all kinds of joy in making multiple accounts and juggling that crap. I mean, there was a time where I thought, hey, it would be funny to pull this gag. And I started to figure out how to pull a gag on the internet and realized very quickly, A, I wasn't going to be able to pull it off. But B, there's a lot of work and a whole lot of you got to be really organized. So, but there are people like that.
Absolutely, there are. But I guess not to like be a jerk, but your original argument was like, well, it's all comes razor, that it's like simpler that it's one dude like doing a hoax. Well, yeah, but no, at this point, it's like not anymore.
Well, but that's the thing is that this is why I'm torn because I can see it being that simple. I can see it being that complex. Mm-hmm. And sadly, I can see it go in 90 degrees the other direction where it's, again, some jerkwad hacks their server. I mean, we've had conversations about servers that have been hacked that I've had to deal with.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Nobody knew.
Yeah.
Like, so
I totally
simple.
Hear you. And that's, I think that's the thing about this case that had me, you guys know, down rabbit hole for a couple months now.
It'll be great to get you
back. I've been obsessed.
You've lost like 30 pounds.
I did, it's insane. I didn't really have 30 pounds to lose, but here I am, just a bone and some skin.
Can we finish up Skeletor?
No.
That's your new nickname, Anne Frank.
Is because there's enough... There's enough information out there that it's intriguing, but not enough that we will ever get closure, probably.
No, especially the site's gone.
Yeah.
This whole case.
It's gone.
It's done.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think it is, but you never know. I mean,
it's got a quiet pill now.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. So if you want to read some of the Reddit threads that we've been talking about, unfortunately, again, we can't. I'm not going to link the drunk stepfather forums.
No. Yeah. Devin can say we will, but Steve will not do it.
No, I'm not going to do that. So
I didn't even go out and look at that.
Yeah, so all of our research is going to be Reddit links this week, unfortunately. I'm sorry, guys. But if you want to read those links, if you want to go back to the original post of the original finding of this, you can find those links on our website. That website is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. You can also leave a comment on any of the shows there. You can find links to our Patreon and our PayPal and also our merch websites all there as well. You can find us on Facebook. We have a page and a group. The group is private, so you have to request to be part of the group.
Yeah, actually, I need to interrupt for a second.
Uh-huh.
So, and we're going to have to start saying this on a regular basis for folks. We have recently, as of the time of this recording, we're starting to get a lot of folks who are sending us friends requests.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, the problem is we are active on the Thinking Sideways Facebook page, and we're active in the Thinking Sideways group. We don't do anything with the Facebook account itself. So,
the one that's Steve, Devin, Joe, don't just ignore
everybody
it.
Is starting to friend that. And I am now, I've got it this week, reach out to everybody who's friended us and tell them, listen, go here. And we're going to have to set a policy from here on forward of I'm not going to accept friend requests because we don't want to be the jerk who they're like, we totally friended you and you guys put nothing up and you say you do all the time like that. We don't want to give that false impression. So.
But also, if you post something on our Steve, Devin, Joe, whatever that page is called, we don't see that page. We don't read it.
No.
Just search Thinking Sideways and friend us. Or, no, not friend us. Don't friend us. Don't friend us.
Okay.
Like
or join the group.
Yeah, yeah. The,
okay?
Why is it so complicated?
It's so complicated.
It's Facebook's fault.
It is Facebook's fault.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no,
I just want to let everybody know that if you have gotten an email from us, a Facebook message through Messenger, and then suddenly we fell off your friends list, it's because I'm going to, after a short amount of time... Mm-hmm. Prune all the friends off because I don't want to give people the false impression that that's where the things we talk about are happening.
Yeah.
All right.
So, okay, I guess on the end of that tirade. You can also find us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
We do use Twitter.
And
I use Twitter.
You can find us anywhere on Twitter.
I'm using Twitter a lot recently. If you want to hear about my escapades in playing Fallout 4, follow us on Twitter. We're thinking sideways.
You'll have beat it by the time this comes out, right?
No, probably not, no. I have a job and a life and stuff like that. You can also, we have a subreddit. It's Thinking Sideways. It's picking up steam. We do episode discussions. You guys can ask questions, things like that. We're there pretty often. If you want to just chat with us, if you have suggestions, if you want to be added to that list of experts that we used so heavily for this episode, drop us an email. We're thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. And then I mentioned briefly earlier, Patreon. We have that link on the website. You can also find us at patreon.com/thinkingsideways if you want to make a sustaining donation to the show. You are more than welcome to do that. Obviously, it's optional. But we really, really appreciate it. It helps us cover costs like hosting and servers. And
yeah, our hosting bill just came due, and yeah, it was like a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Yeah.
You were not happy when I put the green visor hat.
As I said last week, you can either donate or you can stop downloading our show. It's your choice. But do one of those things.
I'm kidding.
But we really, really, really appreciate any donation that you give to the show.
No, some people have, and I really do appreciate
really
it.
Great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
No, it's great. Everybody.
Genuinely
thank you.
Amazing.
Again, yeah, it covers those bills, which is nice.
Really, really nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess all that having been said, God bless you for making it to the end of this episode.
Oh, my God. How many people do you think are still awake?
I don't know. None
hey,
of
we can
probably.
Say whatever we want.
We could.
They're all asleep.
Yeah. We're going to the Rocky Mountains.
Why did we make a two-hour episode on something that we don't even know is real? Because it's on the internet, and the internet is fake.
The internet? Time is fake. Life is fake.
Yeah,
you're fake.
It's a matrix. Yeah.
You can't prove
I'm fake.
Yeah.
Crap, we gotta go.
Okay.
Yeah, now it's time to leave.
Bye, guys.
So, ta-ta, everybody. See you next week.